There is in the experience of Nehemiah an interesting and illuminating illustration of the clear, correct mental attitude toward the attacks of error. First, the problem of choosing the right thing regardless of the hardships and sacrifices involved. This is the forever command of principle. Quote, "Choose ye this day whom ye shall serve." Close quote. Nehemiah was a prince of Judah and was taken captive by the Persian king. Although he was compelled to live in a foreign land, he loved his people and he loved Jerusalem. The report that the walls of Jerusalem were broken down and the gates consumed by fire brought dismay and grief to his heart. After prayerful consideration that he might return to serve his people and rebuild the wall, he was given the opportunity to lay his desires before the king, who gave him permission and even furnished him aid in rebuilding the walls. Those who have gained some glimpse of the power of Christian Science to redeem mankind and build a wall of defense from sin, sickness, sorrow, and death have consciously commenced their work in the defense of this New Jerusalem, or, quote, "divine science, the spiritual facts and harmony of the universe, the kingdom of heaven, or reign of harmony," close quote. It is interesting to note that once having perceived the necessity of building the wall, Nehemiah did not reveal his intention to anyone, but went out alone at night to lay out his plan. Then he called his people together and, quote, "told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. And they said, let us rise and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." Close quote. Then the enemy appeared in the form of Sanballat and others and laughed them to scorn. Nehemiah listened to none of the arguments of, quote, "much rubbish to be cleared away," close quote, "lack of time, ability, tools, etc., which then, as now, would lull heavenly aspirations and create fear. Nehemiah's answer was, quote, "the God of heaven, he will prosper us," close quote, and they continued to build. The claims of error may present themselves again and again, apparently growing more subtle with every repetition, claiming to be our thinking, even coming in the guise of good. But the understanding of man as the image and likeness of God, the all-knowing, all-seeing God, the omnipotent and ever-present mind, enables us to detect these claims as impersonal error, as nothing, and to overcome them. In Pulpit and Press, our leader writes, quote, "Know then that you possess sovereign power to think and act rightly, and that nothing can dispossess you of this heritage and trespass on love. If you maintain this position, who or what can cause you to sin or suffer? Our surety is in our confidence that we are indeed dwellers in truth and love, man's eternal mansion." Close quote. Nehemiah, instead of becoming afraid, ordered every man to put on his armor of defense, to keep his sword in one hand and continue the work. Should not we, too, be alert to the necessity of detecting and uncovering error in every form, as well as declaring and realizing the truth? Relying wholly upon God, the children of Israel struck no material blow. Likewise, we need not engage in any material struggle. Neither are we to meet error as something or somebody. Let us make our defense in the calm realization of the nothingness of the material sense testimony and the allness of God good. The work is first in the individual consciousness or inner wall. Quote, "Let the reign of divine truth, life, and love be established in me, and rule out of me all sin." Close quote. And then, in the building of the outer wall, the city of all mankind, quote, "And may thy word enrich the affections of all mankind and govern them." Close quote. And that's from the Church Manual. When the wall was nearly completed, and the children of Israel were dwelling safely within, evil did not relax its efforts. Many attempts were made to persuade Nehemiah to leave the protecting walls and meet error on its own level, quote, "in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono," close quote, to relax a little, to indulge in a little self-edification, to believe that he had done the work, and to depart from his understanding of God's allness and man's relationship to God. Nehemiah was not deceived by error's malicious efforts. He said, quote, "I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you?" Close quote. Error is persistent and insistent. 4 times he was sent for to come down, and so he prayed, quote, "Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." Close quote. Strengthened, he continued to build, and the wall was completed. His enemies were cast down, for they, quote, "perceived that his work was wrought of our God." Close quote. In the 15th chapter of Matthew, we read that Jesus took Peter, James, and John up into a high mountain, up into the consciousness of heaven, where he was transfigured, and Moses and Elias talked with him. A voice spake unto them, saying, quote, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Close quote. So we too need to be lifted up into spiritual consciousness, to recognize man's unity with God, and to be conscious of our spiritual selfhood. What becomes of the Son of Man, the belief that we are material, when God visits our thought? Quote, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." Close quote. The Christ is ever revealing the truth about God and the nature and essence of God. And the Christ will continue to unfold in spiritual man, quote, "the beauty of holiness." Close quote. God's wholeness, the wonders of creation. 3 of the disciples saw Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, but even the beloved John saw only the cloud of the disappearing form at the time of the ascension. Although the vows of love and fidelity were yet warm upon their lips and heart, and they were still thrilling with the memory and joy of his mighty demonstrations. Yet, animal magnetism held them, for the time being, in such complete mesmerism that they were not able to spiritualize their sense of Jesus. They were in his very presence, talking with him, yet they knew him not. The darkness and gloom of that hour was a great contrast to the happy days in Galilee, when he was in their midst, teaching and healing all manner of disease, sin, and death. The Christian Scientist of today is not to be spared the experience of overcoming the world, the flesh, and the devil. It is time to master every claim of error, of the belief in matter, a life separate and apart from God. Animal magnetism gains fresh power over us each time we give in to the demands of the flesh. Do some of us argue that if we had witnessed actual demonstrations of the power of mind to heal, such as Jesus gave to his disciples, we would stand more firmly and be more active in the ranks today? Who can say that he has not seen and felt what the understanding of God is all has done for him? We may experience cyclones of error and whirlwinds of discord which seem to almost overcome us, tempting us to personalize error and urging us backward into the old retreat of matter and sin. If we stand still or drift backward, are we not burying our risen Lord? When shall we be able to stand on the Mount of Transfiguration and behold our risen Lord, to have the resurrection without the crucifixion, and to see that life is eternally spiritual, never in nor of matter? When we do, we shall cease to suffer out of the flesh and realize that we were never in the flesh, but are in the eternal now. The determination to hold spirit in the grasp of matter is the crucifixion. And as we do so, we crucify the Christ. There is no mortal mind to confine God's image and likeness in matter or a mortal body. For divine mind holds man perfect and forever free from any mortal beliefs. We remember that Nehemiah had much rubbish to be cleared away before beginning to build the wall of defense. So, the rubbish of mortal mind beliefs must be cleared away before we have a sure foundation for our wall. In these days, as in the days of Nehemiah, the workers have many hidden, subtle, tricky arguments to uncover and destroy. They are being coaxed by the Ammonites, Moabites, and many other ites and ologies to come down from the wall of spiritual understanding and indulge in a little materiality, to have a diagnosis, an x-ray. What is there to heal? Not man, for he is eternally God's perfect likeness. Not matter, for it is only mortal belief externalized. So there remains only false belief to be healed by knowing the truth, the true man, as Jesus did. The students of Christian Science may find themselves with many demands and duties outside, but they should remember with Nehemiah that they are the children of God, citizens of, quote, New Jerusalem, divine science, the spiritual facts and harmony of the universe, the kingdom of heaven, or reign of harmony, close quote. Their hearts must be with their people. The work of the cause of Christian Science depends upon the work of the individual student. Let us be about our Father's business. That's the end of this address.